Hi, this is Cameron Byrne from T-Mobile USA, and I'm going to share some of the information about our IPv6 deployment here at T-Mobile in the United States. In 2013, we deployed IPv6 to all of our new Android handsets using 464 XLAT technology. And what this means is that we only provision IPv6 to the user, and then we also use DNS64 and NAT64 so that all the IPv6 traffic to Google, Netflix, Facebook, all these major traffic sources go natively IPv6 between the handset and the native IPv6 service. And then anything that requires IPv4 would go through the NAT64 using NAT64 and DNS64 for IPv6 to IPv4 translation. So we started that in 2013, and that was an Android 4.3, and all of our Android handsets since 4.3 have been IPv6 enabled. They only do IPv6. They are not dual stack. They do not use IPv4. And the basic idea around this approach has been that we don't have IPv4 addresses. We do not have private IPv4 addresses. We do not have public IPv4 addresses. We simply just do not have enough IP addresses to scale with our company growth in terms of the number of subscribers, mobile, as well as IoT, machine to machine, things like this. Overall, we needed to have a scalable numbering solution, and that's why we went with an IPv6 only approach. And it's worked out really well for us. In Android, we've been doing it for several years. We allow a lot of time for the market to pick up. We introduced IPv6 with each new handset. We didn't do very much effort in terms of updating older handsets to include IPv6. In this last year, in 2017, we have introduced iPhone IPv6 only solution as well. So our iPhones currently do not use IPv4 or dual stack. They use IPv6 only. Apple has a solution for this that they've documented on their website, and they've done a couple presentations around how they use IPv6 only on their handsets and how all the apps require to be compatible with DNS64, NAT64 networks. So now we're at a position where at T-Mobile US in 2017, 80% of our subscribers are IPv6 only. The only subscribers on our network who have IPv4 are this 20% of subscribers who have an older handset or have some sort of gray market device that does not have an updated APN configuration. So we're in a position where we've taken time to introduce new Android handsets over the last several years that have been IPv6 only, and then in the last year here in 2017 iOS 10.2 and 10.3, any of our iOS devices, iPhone 5S, iPhone 6, iPhone 6S, iPhone 7, all these iPhones, as you know, they update their OS, very rapidly relative to Android. So we were able to move a very large number of Apple devices to be IPv6 only in a fairly short amount of time, and we've been very successful with that as well. So we're in a position where in 2017, about north of 80% of our subscribers are on IPv6 only. We've been able to reclaim a lot of IPv4 address space back, and the vast majority of our traffic is IPv6 end-to-end. So for an IPv6 subscriber, about 80% of the traffic is IPv6 end-to-end. This is probably not a surprising number if your subscribers use a lot of Facebook, a lot of Google, a lot of YouTube, a lot of Netflix. These services are natively IPv6, so these dominant services in turn result in the traffic being dominantly IPv6. We're in a position where about 80% of our subscribers are IPv6 only, and for those subscribers, about 80% of the traffic is IPv6 end-to-end. Less than 20% of the traffic requires a NAT64 function, NAT64 type translation to translate between IPv6 and IPv4. So we're very happy with that. We're very happy that the investment we made in NAT64, we don't have to keep investing in it because the traffic keeps becoming more IPv6 centric, so there's less need for translation. So we definitely feel like the 464X LAT, the NAT64, the DNS64 solution has been a very good investment because it continues to be used less and less as more and more services, more and more subscribers are on IPv6. So, we're in a position where over the next several years, we're not going to invest much more money into DNS64 or NAT64 because the traffic is dominantly going to be IPv6. So we're seeing this full arc of going from IPv4 only to some IPv6 only subscribers, and then dominantly IPv6 only subscribers, and then IPv4 in general starting to fade out of the network. Thanks for listening, and feel free to contact me if you have some specific questions or there's something I can help you with in terms of deploying IPv6 in your environment. We're happy to share lessons learned that we've had at T-Mobile US in terms of deploying IPv6, and hope you can come along on that same journey as us. Thanks a lot. Bye.